In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast here for the Word for Life today. And my name is Pastor Ken, and the pastor of Brookside Baptist Church. I have Jack Gardner with me. He's our producer for the Word for Life. And so, Jack, good to have you. We're in the study of Joshua, and I've always enjoyed the study of Joshua. And, you know, can I say, friends, we cannot think rightly of God until we begin to think of God as always being right there and with us, not leaving us, not forsaking us.
Mm-hmm.
As we're in this study, we're in chapter one right now. We've gone through the first four verses. And if you remember, there's several points here that we're trying to point out. The first was that God wanted Israel to face reality. Moses is dead. And he wanted to know that when the man of God dies, nothing of God dies. God is still on the throne. Secondly, God told Joshua for the people to get up and get going. Yeah, that's in the past. I have a great plan and I have a great future for you in a land that's flowing with milk and honey. That was verses 2 and 4. And then that wonderful promise there in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given you. And really, our role today is the same as Joshua's. It is a step of faith and to quietly claim our rightful inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. We come to verse 5, and Jack, I'm going to have you read that because it's a verse that I'm sure we all need to be reminded of in the days in which we live and all the changes that are taking place. And so God's going to give some assurance here to Joshua there in verse 5.
No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you.
And again, that passage is going to be repeated by the writer of Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 5. You know, Jack, we talked about this a couple of broadcasts ago. The most common response to the unknown is fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I've been there. We let the shadows of the unknown creep in and defeat us.
The what ifs.
The what ifs. I have to say, even Jack, the older a person gets, many times the greater the fears. Mm-hmm. You would think it wouldn't be that way, that we've seen God work and we've seen how God's been leading or how he's answered prayer. But the unknown is that uncertainty that really looms before those that are growing older, and it gives an enormous amount of concern. I mean, you think of every election year that comes around, you'll hear a candidate share concern for the elderly and claim that the rival candidate's going to take away everything that they should have coming their way or what they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of these Hebrews that are with Joshua are getting into these middle years now, and the Lord says, hey, you don't need to be afraid. I'm going to be with you just as I was with Moses. And they saw that. You know, they saw Moses come down from Mount Sinai where God had given them the commandments. They knew that this relationship that God had with Moses was extremely special. And yet, what a promise here in verse 5. Don't be afraid. No weapon formed against you is going to stand. And really, the Hebrews are getting ready to go up against bigger people that have bigger walls. You know, that seems to be a topic of political discussion today, the walls for protection. Well, Jericho is going to be their first force that they're going to go up against that has impenetrating walls to keep those in Jericho safe there in the land of Canaan. And they're going to be bigger people. And that was what scared the 10 spies off in the first place. We don't have the resources. We don't have the size to take these people on. And so there's obstacles beyond the Jordan River that were intimidating, could bring with it these fearful thoughts. Webster defines fear as a feeling of anxiety and agitation caused by the presence or the nearness of danger, evil, or pain. I've been there at that point.
Myself included.
You know, synonyms of fear are dread, terror, alarm, fright, trepidation, panic. You know, questions begin with, what if? You know, this can occur if. And playing on the fear of people is a constant attack from the evil one. He wants believers to doubt God's goodness, doubt God's presence. He wants them to have a fear that they're out there totally alone.
Well, and like you've always said, he always puts a question mark where God puts a period.
Exactly. And he's so good at that. But God's letting Joshua know, you can relax. You can calm down. You have nothing to fear. And so often, we're faced with the fears and the unknowns of life, just as Joshua and the people were. But can I tell you, God gives us that same promise. He is not going to forsake us. We're not by ourselves. It's an interesting word, that word forsake. It means to abandon or to be left alone. There's not a worse feeling in the world, Jack, than to find yourself totally alone, especially if you're in a new place or you're totally lost. And that's when you see that fear kind of creep in.
I always remember that story about one of our missionaries, John Zimmer, when those men took him out into the ocean, left him to fend for himself, and there he was just floating out there with nothing and no help.
Yeah, and the tide was going out to the no man's land of the Pacific, and he wasn't a great swimmer, but he fought and tried to swim out of the current. And I mean, the current over there is extremely, you just wouldn't believe how fast it is. And they probably intended him to die. And he would say, I'm not a great swimmer, but God wasn't done with me. He was there to protect me. So
he delivered him back to the beach.
Yeah. And when he saw those guys the next day, he said they almost turned white. They were shocked to see him. You know, I just heard about some people that were on a cruise. The ship had stopped and at port to allow folks to get off and sightsee. But when they returned to their ship, they had shock and fear only to find out the boat was gone. Now, if you've ever been on a cruise, that would be actually absolutely fearful.
Yeah, terrifying.
But if you remember, there was someone who loved us deeply, and he was pinned to that old rugged cross, nailed to that old rugged cross. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, Jack, why the Father abandoned or forsook his Son on the cross, it was because Jesus Christ was bearing the entire weight of the sins of the world on himself. And a holy God cannot fellowship with sinfulness at any point, even when the sinfulness is borne by his precious Son. So for that moment in time when Jesus took the sins of the world on himself, he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, right from his own native Aramaic tongue. My God, why have you forsaken? Why have you abandoned me? And the good news is that you and I, as believers, will never know what it is to be abandoned by God. I mean, those words will never really be uttered from our lips. As tough as the journey, Jack, of this life can be for us, we are given the promise, just as Israel was, he's not going to abandon us. You put it in the margin of your Bible here in Joshua, two scripture references, Hebrews 13:5-6. For he himself, talking about our Lord, said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. This is quoted in the New Testament from this passage here in Joshua 1. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. This is what he goes on to say in Hebrews. I will not fear what man can do to me. Also right in there, Romans 8:31, there in, if you're taking some notes this morning here in Joshua chapter 1, there by verse 5, if God is for us, write down Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? I love that question, because if God is on our side, who does it matter that's on the other side? Whoever is on God's side will win, no matter how large the hurdle or the opposition. If God's for us, it doesn't matter. I can admit that I don't know what the future holds, but no way should I be succumbing to the imaginary fears, because faith and fear cannot grow together.
And you've also said, you know, your mind is the battlefield.
Yeah. And sometime if we get into Jeremiah, when he was writing Lamentations, I mean, you read Lamentations 3, he was one defeated man. I mean, if you read the first 17 or 18 verses of Lamentations 3, that's beautiful Hebrew for "I'm in the pits." But he recalled to his mind specifically what he knew about God. And what Jeremiah said about God, Jack, was that his mercy and his compassions, you know, are new every morning, and his faithfulness is great. And that is what will really change our thinking. I remember Pastor Greg used to always talk about stink, you know, our thinking can get stinking thinking. You know, we quit really relying on the promises of God's word, and we start leaning to our own understanding, and that's always going to get us in trouble, especially when fear starts to creep in, because fear is just a crippling emotion, and the Lord never, ever intended for us as his followers to dread the future.
Well, and he says, I don't give you the spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. Yeah. Doesn't mean we shouldn't fear him, but he doesn't give us the spirit of fear.
Exactly. Paul told the church at Philippi that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it, finish it in the day of Jesus Christ. Well, so we've looked at, you know, God has told them, hey, you face the facts, you get going, you remember the promises, step out by faith, claim it, and then don't be afraid. You know, and again, that faith and fear cannot grow together. But fifthly, we see in verses 6, 7, 9, and then even in verse 18, he's going to talk about be courageous. You might say it to your son or daughter with the words, stand tall. You know, it's a positive. You can do it. It's in that imperative command. You know, when God says something once, it's important. When God says something twice, it's very significant. And yet when God says it a third time, it's of the highest priority. Yet four times God says, be strong and courageous, very strong and courageous. We mean by that, you can bank on it. Just bank on it. It's going to happen. Courage is a quality of mind or spirit that enables us to meet danger, opposition, or the challenges of life with fearlessness, calmness, and firmness.
And he already knew in advance that they were going to suffer from that, the lack of courage, the fear. And he was telling them, you know, like you said, multiple times over and over.
Yeah. He wanted Joshua to know, Joshua, you can be confident. I mean, you know, I mean, we might want to be critical of Joshua, but my word, you put yourself in his position.
Absolutely.
I might have been reminded much more than just the few times that God kept reminding Joshua.
Let me raise my hand on that one, too.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't just some self-assurance for Joshua, but it was, Joshua, you can have the absolute determination here. And friends, you and I can be confident that whatever God wants to do in our life, when he starts it, he's going to complete it. You know, that good work of God begins in us when the Holy Spirit takes up that permanent residence in our hearts. And that's going to take place at salvation. I trust that you know the Lord Jesus personally as your Savior. And if so, as you're driving along or you're listening this morning, just pause right now and say, Father, thank you. Thank you for that wonderful gift of salvation. I've been saved by your Son. You've sealed me with your Spirit. And I can be assured that one day I will be in your presence. You have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.